We finish up our series on travel stories with Jesus today with a well-known and beloved story, one that you probably know, that of the Good Samaritan. So let's listen for something new, perhaps, we can hear in it today as we hear these words from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. So which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. One reason that this story is so popular, I think, is that unlike so many of Jesus' other stories and parables, this one seems pretty clear and straightforward. The lawyer asks Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells a story about stopping to help a stranger. The message is so clear that when Jesus gives the lawyer a little pop quiz at the end, he's able to easily offer the answer that Jesus is looking for, which Jesus' own disciples can hardly ever do. Which of these 3 was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The one who showed him mercy. I'm sure there are many of us who wish all sermons got to the point so quickly and were so easy to understand. The answer to the question is obvious. The one who showed him mercy is his neighbor. But, there's always a but with Jesus' stories. At the ending, Jesus says something else to the lawyer. Go and do likewise. And it's not just the doing what we know we're supposed to do that's hard, but I think in this case it's even a little tricky to know which part of the story exactly Jesus wants us to replicate. We definitely do not want to be the priest or the Levite who see the person in trouble and just walk on by. So it seems to make sense that we would want to go and do like the Samaritan and show mercy to people who are in need. But the Samaritan in the story is the outcast, the one who is despised and excluded from society. The story is so compelling exactly because the Samaritan is the last person we think is going to stop and help. And surely that's not us. Even though we may not always be as helpful and generous as we could be, We are usually willing to help somebody who is clearly and desperately in need. The story that Jesus tells is told from the perspective of the person who has been beaten and robbed and lies helpless in the ditch. Even the way Jesus poses the question puts the listener in the role of the injured traveler. The story starts out with the question, "Who is my neighbor?" and ends with the question, "Who is a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" So if we are supposed to hear the story from the perspective of the wounded traveler, how are we supposed to go and do likewise? I don't see Jesus' disciples going and throwing themselves in the hands of robbers to show how much they love their neighbors. And I don't think that's what Jesus expects of us either. We already know that Jesus wants us to show mercy to people in need. That message is repeated throughout Scripture. But in this story, Jesus also teaches us to accept mercy from others. We are called into relationships that sometimes ask us to let go of our positions of power and control and accept that sometimes we have needs that we can't meet by ourselves. Jesus calls us to be neighbors who both give and receive love that transcends social boundaries. After all, love is not a one-sided action, but a reciprocal one. We can't love someone else without being willing to accept that person's love in return. Otherwise, we can call it charity or philanthropy, but it's not love. To love our neighbor, we have to acknowledge that we also need our neighbor's love. To love God, we have to acknowledge that we also need God's love. And this is the only way to eternal life. The only way to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength is to recognize our need for God's love and mercy, to recognize our dependence on God, to drop our righteous certainty that we have all the answers. After all, Jesus is telling this story to a lawyer who's trying really hard to figure out exactly what he has to do to earn his place in God's kingdom. The lawyer is checking off all the boxes. Love God with all you've got. Love your neighbor as yourself. Show mercy. Check, check, check. But Jesus sneaks in a catch. Even though doing all those things is important, ultimately nothing you can do will save you from the ditch. It is only the unearned love and mercy of God that can save your life. Money, power, intelligence, success, the right answers, and even the most compassionate actions. In the end, none of those make you more worthy of God's love. The people who know this lesson best are the ones who have been in the ditch themselves, who know what it feels like to depend on their neighbors. Some of us who have been refugees to the United States, who showed up in a strange country and had to trust strange people to help you find a job and a house and a home and medical care and to understand the language. Those of us who have been confined to our homes during cancer or other illness and unable to do basic things for ourselves. Those among us who have been immobilized by depression. These are the neighbors who know best what it feels like to be shown mercy, to be totally dependent on the love of God. These are the neighbors who can remind us what it really means to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. After all, we follow a Savior who put himself in a position of vulnerability, who knows firsthand what it feels like to be beaten and left for dead. A Savior who taught us about mercy by putting himself at our mercy. And like the traveler in the parable, we can't always choose whose love we receive or in what form God sends mercy to us. Jesus' definition of a neighbor is meant to shock the people who hear it. In our context, instead of Samaritan, we might picture a terrorist, a white supremacist, a human trafficker, someone who we don't want to associate with, someone whose compassion and generosity we don't want to have to depend on for our health and safety. Imagine that you are in the position of the traveler, vulnerable and helpless, and the person you'd least want to meet stops to help you. And you are in debt to this person for your very life. The one you despise, who you fear, is the one who shows you compassion. Showing or being shown mercy makes neighbors out of strangers and enemies. It makes us admit that we are not always in control. And this is what God calls us to do by loving our neighbor. Who is my neighbor? The one who I have mercy on or who has mercy on me. And it's not about geography or housing or race or class. It's about mercy. And being able to recognize our common need for mercy makes us neighbors with all others. When we break down these barriers between us as humans, it helps break down the barriers between ourselves and God as well. We can begin to learn how to accept the mercy from God we need to find redemption. For us to have a true relationship with God, to love God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind, we have to be able to see ourselves as the one in the ditch, ready to accept the help of whoever reaches out to us. The injured traveler doesn't care who shows up to save him. He doesn't refuse help from the one who finally stops, because Jesus tells this story from the perspective of one who is desperate, who is helpless, who knows how much he needs someone else. And it's from this perspective that we begin to understand who our neighbor is. Several years ago, I had the chance to go to Bosnia with Week of Compassion, and we met there a Catholic Franciscan priest named Father Ivo Markovic. During the war in Bosnia, there were terrible atrocities committed by each of the region's different ethnic groups against the others. The Orthodox Christian Serbs massacred Bosnian Muslims. The Bosnian Muslims persecuted Catholic Croatians. The Catholic Croatians attacked the Serbs. And whole villages were driven out of their homes. When Father Ivo returned to his family home after the war ended, he was shocked to find that there was a Bosnian Muslim family living in his parents' house. These were people of the same background as the ones who had killed many of his relatives, including his father. The Bosnian army had destroyed his churches. But Father Ivo knew that this Bosnian family, the one living in his house, had also experienced violence. They too had experienced loss and death and were in need. So he showed them mercy. When he knocked on the door and they answered and he saw who it was, he didn't even tell them that they were living in his house. He decided to simply ask if there was anything they needed help with, and then left them to live there in peace. When Jesus turns the question back to the lawyer after telling the parable and asks him, which of these was a neighbor? The lawyer doesn't say it was the Samaritan. He describes what makes him a neighbor, the one who showed him mercy, because he realizes that's the important part of his identity. But too often when we read the parable, we get caught up in the identity of the Samaritan. We compare the behavior of a person from this despised background with the priest and the Levite, who should have known better. But we often miss another important detail about the man in the ditch. We have no idea what race or religion or class the traveler was. We might assume that like Jesus and like the priest and the Levite that he was a Jew, but Jesus doesn't ever say. What matters is that he needs help. And a neighbor sees that need and answers it. The traveler understood that he couldn't save his life on his own. And he found a neighbor who would not let him suffer alone. Let us go and do likewise. If you want to receive God's love and mercy as part of this community of faith, then Amanda or I would be happy to talk with you about joining St. Paul's. Or if you're ready to join the church today, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing together our hymn of invitation, number 517, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.